Hey, Milwaukee.
It's time for another episode of Cream City Dreams,
the podcast where we bring you Milwaukee women who are living the dream,
doing cool things, building beautiful spaces, like this week's guest, Savan Reese, who is representing Mother Lion, a collaboration of folks in the Bayview, or in Milwaukee, who have created a space in the Bayview that is available for rental, for retreats and
workshops, saunas, ice baths,
gardens, body work, and getaways, specifically to nurture people who nurture people, or nourish people who nourish people. I love that.
I love that tagline.
And I think we want to wrap up this conversation so that we can go right now.
Yeah. But let's let our listeners hear about Mother Lion before we wrap it up, because then you'll want to get there too.
Absolutely.
All right. Sav Reese of Mother Lion Retreat Space. Okay. Today on the podcast, we are excited to welcome Sav Reese, who is here from Mother Lion. And I can't wait to hear about this. I'm so excited because retreats, I love retreats. It's on my bucket list to host retreats. So I'm always kind of got my eye open for spaces. So I'm excited to hear about what this is. But we thought maybe, Sav, if you could just take a minute to tell us a little bit about who you are, and then we'll roll right into what Mother Lion is.
Yeah, sure thing. Thanks for having me. So my name's Savan, or Sev, and I work as an employment specialist for Easter Seals. So I help adults that are living with disabilities, mental health diagnoses, or in recovery find meaningful work. Mm. And I really love doing that. And I also worked as a full spectrum doula for a while. I do somatic guide work, divination, energy work, and sound healing. Mm. And then Mother Lion, I'm also a mother of a 4-year-old and a 14-year-old stepchild. Even though the father of my kid and I aren't together anymore, we still co-parent, and I consider his daughter my kid. And then Mother Lion is like, I guess, part-time job, but also passion project and this like community or like not community. Yeah, there's like a small group of us that help run it, and it feels very much like a community. So we're all putting a lot of heart and soul into making this space what it is.
Yeah. And so this is a space down in River West. Is it a purpose-built place? Is it a house? Could you describe?
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about Mother Lion.
Yeah, sure thing. So it's in Bayview. I'm in River West. the house is in Bayview. It's a single level house that my good friend Jess Seidel, who she and her husband also own Bernhardt's, which is a bar in Bayview. Oh, and we're right. involved in the restaurant Good Kind.
Yeah.
So this has been a vision, a dream of Jess's for a long, long time, to the point where if you haven't met her, like, I don't have the quite the right words. She's just like a force of nature. She's one of those people where she makes dreams like reality. Where a lot of us, we have lots of ideas and visions and dreams floating around in our head, but it might take us years and years and years to actualize them if we ever do. But she just knows right away what she wants to do and then just does it. And it's really admirable, that kind of really fiery creative energy. So this project, Mother Lion, has been a dream, and specifically her wanting a space, a retreat space for mothers, hence the name Mother Lion.
Mm.
And it kind of has developed into more than that, but that was at the core of the vision for Mother Lion, is this healing, nourishing space to nourish people who nourish people.
Mm.
If you've seen the space, you can go on our website, motherlionrest.com, and there's pictures all up, or on the Instagram, which is Mother Lion underscore at bayview.com.
Yep.
I'll get that too.
yep. And we'll put that in our show notes too, so that everybody can click right to it.
The pictures are absolutely, I mean, they do a good job of portraying the space, but you really have to be in it So she has collected all sorts of beautiful art objects over the years, and that's what adorns the space. Mm. And it feels like a friend of mine who was there for the first time, he referred to it as a spirited place. Mm. And I really loved that because I think it really did it justice, where you there are many places you walk into where when you're there, you kind of feel the sense of aliveness, like a spirit of the home, of the space. And Mother Lion really, really has that. You're kind of entering into this a new, like another dimension or a realm. So we very much see it in a like a sacred light.
Yeah.
And of course, like, yeah, you know, have fun and party and, you know, not too crazy partying, but have fun. Yeah. but to come with this, like a sense of like healing, rejuvenation and reverence. And I think the space itself evokes that anyway, once you're in there.
Mm. Yeah. And it has a communal space and some bedrooms, and it has a sauna, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like the more of the structure of the place. So there's 3 bedrooms. And like I said, it's in the heart of the Bayview neighborhood. So one level house can sleep up to 10 people, which includes like sleeping on some of the couches, which are comfortable. So 3 bedrooms with full size beds, a really bright 4 Seasons room that has lounging couches, and a cozy, like a little infrared heater, and then like a little fireplace area, a dining room, living room with an electric fireplace, fully functioning kitchen. There's a shower with a huge, beautiful clawfoot tub. Mm. Gosh, what else? There's, and then, yeah, in the backyard is really beautifully landscaped. There's a hot tub, a sauna, and a cold plunge for those who are practicing their cold exposure therapy.
Who's that guy's name? Wim Hof?
Wim Hof, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, plenty of candles and incense and extra blankets and robes and bathing suits if you forgot yours.
Wow, that's remarkable. Yeah. I'm curious, so this was Jess's dream for a long time. When did you get like involved? Like when did that dream start to become part of your dream?
Yeah. This most recent summer, or like maybe spring, Jess and I met through a mutual friend in the community. And Jess said that she had been a fan of me for a long time and like following me on Instagram and stuff. And I'm a musician, so I've been in a few local bands. She kept dropping hints that she wanted me to be involved. And then we started talking more and more about it. And initially I was just going to be one of the team members that helps with cleaning, but the person that she had initially wanted to handle managing the website and guests, the customer service, wasn't able to do it anymore. So she asked if I wanted to, and I said yes. And so it's myself, Jess, Jenny Jo Wenlund, who's an amazing local artist and poet, writer, and then Teresa Toporsch, so we're all mothers and healers in some regard. Teresa is a really powerful Reiki healer and what I consider like a master gardener. So she handles the landscaping and the gardening and the like plant tending. She's the green thumb. And Jenny Jo has a lot of her artwork up inside the home and has done hand-painted work in a lot of the rooms.
Mm.
Yeah. And there's another artist, Ella Dwyer, who has a lot of her art up on the walls okay. that are like for okay. sale in the space, which is cool. So we support local artists in that way by hanging their art up. And if you like it when you're staying there and you're like, oh, you know, I think I want to look at this all the time and bring it home with me, you could you know, buy it. We all kind of really jumped in head first to doing this. Like I've done customer service work before and like organizing or like managing, but not quite in this way before, where I had to handle a calendar for a space and pretty consistent customer communication. So all of us in some form had to really adjust to this new work life, I guess. And it's working out really well. there were a lot of challenges along the way, just because we were doing something that none of us had done before.
Yeah.
And it's working very well. And I think we've hit our stride, and we're still, of course, learning, always learning, but we're doing really well. People are loving the space, and it's been so special to host so many beautiful events like grief workshops and yoga classes. People have had wedding ceremonies or photo shoots.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. All kinds of stuff, or birthday parties. There's been a couple teen birthday parties, including my stepkid. I hosted their 14th birthday party there with their friends.
Yeah. Very cool. You talked about the four of you who are taking on the managerial part of this, but I noticed on the website there's a whole host of collaborators. So you have artists. Let me see what in my notes here. I wrote poetry workshop facilitator, spiritual coach, acupuncturist, herbalist, death doula, grief coach, guided death meditations, a personal chef, birth support. So like, you have all these collaborators. How does that factor into the space?
Yeah, they're friends of all of ours in some way. So, like I'm listed on there with some of the work that I do. Same with Jenny Jo and some of the photographers that we work with that have photographed the place. And then another person I should mention, Mike Parr. I'm not sure how to say his last name. Mike Parr. He did the murals in one of the rooms. So the list on the website where it says community, and there's all of these lists of collaborators, practitioners, artists, photographers. These are people that have hosted something in the space before and also are available. So if a guest wants to add on a massage or a personal chef or something to their experience, they can do that. They can visit our website and we can help coordinate.
Okay.
That little special add-on.
Yeah. And so if people, if somebody was looking for, say, a grief workshop, would they need to go to the individual collaborators website, or will you eventually have a list of like things that people can just jump onto when they're being run there? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think that if someone wanted something specific to their stay, they could visit the website. So all of the websites or social medias are linked. If you go onto the website and under community, and you see these wonderful people and all the things they do, so you could communicate with them directly, or you could email us and you'd be talking to me and could say, hey, like, this is something that I'm wanting to, for example, maybe you have an anniversary coming up and you want to make it really special. So you want to add, like a personal chef or a massage or something like that. We could help coordinate that. There's also a lot of local businesses we work with, like nonfiction wine and honey pie. So there's little neighborhood pieces that come together really beautifully to create a special experience. And I think eventually we'll probably expand to having to list all the things that we host on the website. But for now, if someone wants to host something in the space, that's they do their own promoting. We'll share it on social media, things like that. But that's like for them to reach out to their people.
It's beautiful. It feels just so community oriented, you know, just the collaboration and a place that's shared is really such a radical concept. And definitely supportive for moms and small business practitioners of things. And I know I'm a coach, and so like that, having a space to do things in is such a huge benefit for little shops like ours. So a question that comes to mind for me is like, how is it being used? Like what's been the experience so far in terms of like who's showing up, or how are people finding out about it?
Yeah. So I think mostly it's guests, just people staying the night or enjoying. So we have an option for what's called a twilight stay. And that allows you to enjoy the space without committing to sleeping over. So it would start at 4 p.m. and then end at 11:30 p.m. that day, that same day. And it's also provides a price point for some people. So maybe if they can't afford an overnight. They can at least enjoy hot tub, sauna, have a fun party, go home later, sleep in your own bed. But there's also an option for a sleepover. And then when it comes to, so there's a lot of that. Mostly I'd say it's guests like that. And then mm-hmm. we do have a really nice variety of workshops. So sometimes we have people that have rented the space for two whole days to host like work conferences. Mm-hmm. So then some people that are driving from out of town can stay there. And we've had people book it for maybe a few hours during the day to do a photo shoot. Mm-hmm. And lots of workshops that center like some of the things you named when naming the collaborators. So mm-hmm. grief workshops and private dinner events and various like health and wellness focused events, which might include like yoga asana practice or breath work mm-hmm. or energy work. I've done some sound healing there and hosted some what I would call like shadow work workshops. Yeah. I mean, we're pretty open to creating, to like working with someone else's dream and vision. There is an application form on the website if you want to host events, and that's mostly in place to make sure that the people that are hosting events in our space align with our values. Mm. As we were, you know, we were thinking about it and I was like, I want it to be a community space. But I think it's really important that we, not to be exclusive, but to say this is what's important to us. And it's crucial that the people that are coming in here also abide by these values, because we're operated by a house of like a collective of women, non-binary. So I identify as non-binary, but also as a woman, because I've been raised and socialized as one for most of my life. Queer people, neurodivergent people. So we really strongly ground in the values of a space that's free of homophobia, transphobia, any body shaming. We strive to be anti-racist and trauma-informed, earth-honoring, community-oriented. So those things are mentioned on the application. And I think the question that I ask is like, how do you feel about these things? So just to open a conversation with the person to make sure that they're bringing energy into the space that's aligned with what we're trying to nurture and maintain and cultivate.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, I love that. That's a part of your application that you actually force people to answer that question. How do you feel about that? Because I think that's really important to maintain that sense of community.
Gosh, I think so too. And I was reaffirmed in it because I just finished watching this documentary about Twin Flames University. It's a cult. And I was thinking about like, there are these event spaces that are allowing people like this to host their stuff. Are they not like looking into these people at all? So I was like, I'm so glad, like it's really important to have, to like be sure that, and again, it, not in a way that's trying to be exclusive, like we are a woman only space. That is not it, because like I said, I identify as non-binary and we're like very connected and supportive of our trans community and LGBTQ plus community, mm-hmm. since a few of us are a part of that community. So it's not exclusive in a way that is like trying to keep people out or keep people from experiencing this beautiful space. It's more trying to maintain the sacredness of it. And if someone is coming in who's transphobic or racist, that's just not, you know, not acceptable.
Yeah.
Not gonna have it.
Yeah, I mean, keeping it safe for all of the many people who use it and who've contributed to it, right?
Yeah.
Who contribute to building that energy in that space feels important.
Yeah, I think so too. And it reminds me to mention this other really beautiful event that we had, that myself and my friend Rachel of Familiar MKE, she's a massage therapist and does really wonderful herbal remedies and things like that. So she and I, and it's not really ours, like I'll just explain it. So we held a free people's healing clinic in Mother Lion, which was super special. So it was this like list of, we started, I don't know what to like really talk about it. We called for practitioners of the healing and like transformative arts, and then also called for Black Indigenous people of color and trans folks who are also low income that were wanting to receive some free services. So like focusing on our low income trans bi POC like siblings. And this project was inspired by the community service work of the Black Panthers of the 1960s. So we collected people's emails, added them to this list, and then contacted them and sought, like figured out who wanted to receive this free healing, organized a day of healing for the that were able to receive. And we had practitioners. So local practitioner Bob Daly, who does Rolfing, which not to be mistaken with the disc golf thing. It's R-O-L. Yeah, a lot of people say that. I'm like, no, that's not what it is. It's like a like massage, but a form of like structural body work. So he offered services for free. I was like, I did grief counseling. Because that was just what was in demand that day, mostly grief counseling and some somatic work. And we had Krista of 100 Grasses Acupuncture offer free acupuncture services. And then Rachel donated an apothecary of tinctures and salves and different zines about mental health and for people to take that they could just take for free. So that was something really special that we did at Mother Lion. And what I meant when I started talking about this, that it isn't really ours, is that we don't want to be seen as like the creators of this or the facilitators. It's just a model that we use that we want other people to use too. So we're saying, if you want to do this too, have your own like free clinic, you can take this formatting. Here's the password to our email address. And you can have like a pop-up clinic wherever you want. So just to make it like a community own and run thing. So there's no figurehead. But we did have it at Mother Lion, and we'll probably have more at Mother Lion in the future. So just to name another like really special community oriented thing that we're doing at Mother Lion, that Mother Lion is helping to sustain.
Yeah. So is that the sort of thing you might want other practitioners who might be willing to donate their services that could jump on board, or looking for more
totally.
Participants or?
Yeah. Both? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Surprisingly, that we had way more people that wanted to offer their services than people that wanted to receive.
Wow. So, what a cool testament to the community that you built and your network. That's if only the whole world could be a little more like that.
Right.
Yeah.
And how does somebody get to know about these opportunities, either to give or to receive? Is do you have a mailing list? How do you stay in touch?
Someone could message me. You could go to my personal Instagram, which is Starry, Starry Serpent, Serpent, on Instagram. And you could just send me a message. I could put you on the list.
Yeah. And I don't know if you know Venus Williams from The Table on the north side over here. She's creating a space that sounds similar, like in terms of like gathering practitioners for healing. Just focusing the thing on healing, which is such a beautiful, I mean, it's clearly a need that the world has right now. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to me that you had more practitioners than recipients, just because so many of us need it, but maybe don't want to admit it or don't want to be the ones that are takers.
I think that a lot of it is difficulty receiving. And I think specifically with bi POC trans low income populations, sometimes it can be really hard to receive help. not out of like a, and it could maybe some deep-seated feelings of lack of self-worth, but really like there's feelings of not wanting to be a burden or not wanting someone to have any sort of like preconceived notion of what it means that I need free care. Because like there's a lot of judgments that I think could swirl around about like, I don't know, you could get someone thinking like, oh, why should I give my services for free? Or they need to, this person needs to just that whole pick themselves up by the bootstrap mentality or like, and it's the same kind of people that might see a home housing insecure person and be like, well, they just need to get a job. So I think that that resistance to receiving is a pretty deep one, especially in these communities, because there's like a real lack of compassion and like a resistance to what people might judge someone who is like needing, you know, what all of the judgments that might come up. If that makes sense.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah. I love the, I think it was Brené Brown who had like a thing she talked about how if we only give help and don't receive help, we're actually, you know, it's clear that there's judgment that we have around the people that are receiving our help, you know?
Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's that helped me a lot because I'm definitely the type that's like, I don't need medicine. I don't need, you know, I can suck it up. So part of my healing is definitely learning to like, just call off for the day if you're sick or, you know, maybe go ahead and receive that free care, right? So
yeah.
I guess I'm wondering as this was getting started, so maybe taking it back to two summers ago, when did this get started?
Time.
I know, here we are again. I'm sorry. I know you said last spring is when you met Jess, but I
meant like this year spring. But still this year. And that's when we opened officially.
Okay.
And so she had been working on it for a year.
Got it.
Spent all of last year. Like she told me like her family would just have to come visit her like at the house if they wanted to see her. She was just so like dedicated. And I want to mention that. So it's a single level house, but she flipped and renovated the whole thing. It's the difference between what it was and what it is now is really astounding. I think there's one picture on the Instagram account, like a before and after of the backyard. That's really awesome. We plan to post more of those because I mean, people love a before and after.
Yeah.
And it's just so special to see how much time and blood and sweat and heart and soul went into the creation of this space. Like truly, truly. And Jess does not like to be, doesn't like shout outs or to be recognized for the work that she does. She doesn't want to be like, doesn't want her face on anything, but really deserves, really, really, really deserves support and like recognition for this like really magnificent, like art house. It's really, really quite amazing.
Yeah. All right, Jess, that's your shout out.
Yeah, that's your shout out, Jess.
Receive it.
Yes, receive it. Exactly.
And I also want to shout out to Jenny Jo and Teresa for just being the absolute best like teammates. We couldn't do it without each other. And when we talk in our group chats, we always say we. So even if it's something that only one of us like has to do or should do, or like maybe that we forgot, we always speak in we's, which I think is really sweet and like a powerful testament to seeing this as a community.
And did you say Teresa Kopek?
No, Toporsch.
Oh, Toporsch. Okay, I was like, is that Teresa? Do you know she's of Interwoven?
They have an event on Sunday with us.
Fun. Look at this small walkie. Love it.
So I'd love to know more about the nitty gritty of the collaboration, because that can be such a hard part of building things. What wisdom do you have to share about your collaboration and the success that you've had
as a team collaborating to make this? I think that Gosh, well, I think this is the case with all relationships, but communication is key. And that's like a cliche, but I see cliches as like one of those things that we hear all the time. And then maybe we intellectually understand it, but then we really like embody the meaning. We're like, oh my God, yeah, it's so true. So communication, it's essential because everyone has really different communication styles and expression styles. And especially if you're like neurodivergent, or if you have any particular traumas around conflict, it can be really challenging to navigate things in a workspace. And I think because I really love that it's just the, well, three of us at the, like, that are actively working on the space, but also, but four because of Jess. But she, oh, I should mention, she and her family are traveling abroad for the next year. So that was a big part of like the learning curve. I should have mentioned is that, so we opened the space and then Jess is like, okay, here's like your, you know, you're gonna like kind of co-manage and here are all your tasks. All right, I'm gonna leave. I'm leaving. And it works because, you know, she'll get Wi-Fi here and there. And there's still lots of communication going on despite the large distance. But that's been a bit of a challenge. But we're making it work. So communication has been huge. I think also patience and understanding that things just take time to grow. And so that's been, I think, really valuable because I tend to be someone that's like, no, now if it's not happening perfectly right away, it's not going to work. Yeah. So it's been really valuable to slowly, patiently tend to the growth of this space and not panicking when maybe there's no bookings, just trust the process to continue showing up, do what we're doing. And it's working. So that's been cool to in real time see. I've seen this before, but it's like I forget every time. So then to see that anything worthwhile just like takes a lot of commitment and time and presence and showing up.
Yep. I feel like that's a recurring theme for our guests. Just, you know, if to make a dream happen, it does take that dedication even when it's the slog, you know.
And I think, and that's the hardest part, I think, is because the dreaming part is honestly easy because you could think about whatever you want, but it's the how to make it happen. And it's and I think it happens in like baby steps, one step at a time. What can I do right now? So a lot of like patience and belief, like in self, a lot of faith and dedication, because there can be a lot of forces at work in our personal lives or in the world that maybe don't want to like see really beautiful things flourish. So a sort of faith and dedication to maintaining and sustaining beautiful healing things in this world.
That was going to be my next question. Have you had any resistance? Have you had naysayers? Have you had, you know, or what kind of challenges have you had in this whole dreamy experience?
To be honest, not any like naysayers, because I don't know how you could be, but I am guessing there's probably like some jealousy. And that to me just means that someone is feeling like they don't belong or they're not a part of something. And I don't think there's anything that any of us have done to make that so, but I recognize that comes from a deeper place of like either, not feeling like they belong or like I want to do that. I wanted to do that. Why can't I do that? And you can.
Yeah.
You can do it. I also will say, I think it takes a lot of support. It's really hard to make your dreams come true if you don't feel like you have the support that you need.
Absolutely.
Where do you experience that support? Like, what has been crucial for you all as a team in terms of like what that support looks like?
I'm gonna say, since I have been appointed to speak for Jess, that I'm gonna say her family. It was like hugely supportive and kind of letting, or not like supporting her while like devoting so much time and focused attention to making the space happen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And also Jenny Joe and Jess are best BFFs forever, forever and ever and ever. And we're supportive of each other throughout the process. And now myself and Teresa are in this like network of, deep and loving support.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that you talk about the, people who may be jealous as if there's not space for this, because I mean, good Lord, the Surgeon General just declared an epidemic of loneliness. And, you know, like, mm-hmm. I think we're dying in this for connection and for community. And so why aren't there more of these all around? You know, like, would that be what do you think is the sort of, I don't know, 5-year, 10-year plan or dream, you know, for Motherline? Maybe that it's booked every night of the week, of course, I would imagine, but is there more than that? Or
yeah, that's a good question. I think that we're playing with maybe seasonal changes, because in the summer we just didn't get as many bookings. So we're wondering, maybe we can open up for like long-term rental in the summer. Mm-hmm. And we also have another project in the works, that another thing that will just take time, but Mother Loon. So we want to do a Northern Wisconsin retreat space. Mm-hmm. My dear friend has some like really special land, near Minocqua and Lac de Flambeau. And right now it's off grid, so no running water, no electricity, but two cabins and the beautiful Tomahawk River that flows through it. Mm. And I think, but what's important for me in that, really important, is to make sure that we are working in collaboration with the spirits of the land, and also like the living ancestors of the original stewards of the land. So the Ojibwe, Anishinaabe people that are up there. And we're friends with the former reservation president, and some of the other Ojibwe folks in that community. So wanting to work in collaboration with them if we do decide to build anything bigger up there. Cause I like really just don't want to be gentrifying the Northwoods, and like continue to like displace, the indigenous people of Turtle Island.
Yeah.
So Mother Loon would be in the works. And I think that like any extra money we make with Mother Lion kind of just goes right into the savings account for that. So, and then it'd be like a kind of like a sister project, Mother Lion and Mother Loon.
Oh, I love that. Names. Oh my great, gosh. Great, yes. Oh boy. I'm going to follow that progress.
Yeah, yeah, cool.
What a joyful space that would be. Oh my gosh, I'm just
amazing. Yeah, add your dreams and visions to it to help make it happen.
Yes, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, retreat space has been on my vision board for years. Like I have it mapped out. It's right next to a river. It's so, yes. Maybe this could be it.
Yeah.
That's so fun. Well, I want to be sure we have a couple minutes to talk about what you do as well, because I was just so, it says on your website, you're a threshold doula. And I didn't know I wanted to talk a little bit more. I mean, I have ideas of what that means, but is that a death doula? Is that, or any kind of threshold?
Yeah, any kind of threshold. Yeah. So yeah. Initially it was, so full, I am a certified full spectrum doula, and that covers conception, pregnancy, labor and birth, postpartum, any like loss or loss, grief, abortion. And then I started to kind of connect that with the spiritual work that I do, and realizing that like I'm really good at helping people at like big points of like or at the precipice of change and transformation, whether it's like actual thresholds of change that we can consciously recognize, like birth or death, or maybe more like unconscious thresholds, like identity shifts and things like that. So incorporated in that is some somatic work. So working with felt sense in the body, which comes from this idea that any traumatic events that we have experienced in our life get stored in the body. And a lot of the times our body functions and our nervous system still functions as if those events are happening or something triggers us that reminds us of that past thing. So it's training the body to find safety in itself again and uncouple the past event with the from the present one. And shadow work is also a part of that, which I think is super important, but also kind of a trendy word. So I don't know how many people know what it means when they hear that word. And for me, I'm coming from a Jungian psychoanalytical perspective, also a shamanic perspective of this idea that we have. For me, if my goal in life is to be in my integrity and move with authenticity, mm-hmm. according to my true self, or even finding out who my true self is, it requires wholeness. So the word integral or integrity comes from the Latin integer, which means like whole, to make whole. So all parts are intact. And in shadow work, there's this, it's like a poetic way of saying the parts that we are not conscious of in ourselves are kind of like relegated to the shadow. So these parts that we don't like, we don't want to look at, like anger or like sorrow or unworthiness. Like that's a big one, is I'm not worthy. No one wants to consciously admit that I really believe deeply that I'm not worthy, but there might be a subconscious belief there that rules your entire life. So the work of shadow work is to bring that deeply deep-seated belief to the light of consciousness, like look at it, witness it, accept it. And the more that you do that, the easier it is to make changes. So it's like, if this pattern comes up again and I'm now consciously aware, oh, I'm doing it again. I'm feeling like I'm not worthy. Interesting. And then again, oh, I'm doing it again. You recognize it quicker. And then after a while you're like, oh, I don't want to do that anymore. I'm tired of doing that. I'm going to do something else now. And then like sound healing too.
That's amazing. I'm curious when you discovered these gifts.
So since I was like a kid, my mom has some, there's like things I don't know if I should get into or not. I guess like it just feels like it's definitely part of my life path. Like, I don't think I've ever said this like in a public way like this, just a few friends know it, but why not? I'll say it. When I was eight months in my mother's womb, she was 8 months pregnant with me. We were in California and the current Dalai Lama just won the Nobel Peace Prize. And he was at this like fundraising event. My mom was there with my dad and he saw my mom was pregnant and then came over and like blessed me in her belly. So when she was 8 months pregnant with me, he put his hand on her belly and grabbed her hand and put his forehead to hers. And she said she felt like electricity.
Wow.
So I feel like being blessed by the current Dalai Lama gave me some sort of like lineage to work with in the, like in this lifetime. And my mom said that when I was young, like real young, I was obsessed with ancient Egypt and wanted this. There are these books on like shamanism at this new age. I was born in California at this new age shop in California when I was very small that I would like cry about wanting. So she'd read them to me as a bedtime story. So I think there's just like some things that I just naturally had been drawn to. And I think I resisted it for a while because I was like, well, isn't everyone into this stuff? Doesn't everyone want to be a shaman? And the answer is no, not everyone.
Oh, that's funny.
And I think I also, it's like I'm trying to keep myself humble too, because I haven't wanted to like openly talk about those things because I'm not trying to say I am a shaman and not. Mm-hmm. I believe that's something that is a title that's appointed by the community. Mm-hmm. But I am interested in shamanic practices and I have like studied them and done apprenticeships and things like that. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, so then just along the way, I found teachers, opportunities presented themselves for me to learn these things. And it's just been this like continual process of really allowing myself to follow my joy and my heart and to do the things that like feel right and don't do the things that really don't feel right. Mm-hmm. And that's still something that I'm trying to do. And I really, really honor my body when my body's like, no, we don't want it. This is not what we're supposed to be doing. And I think, honestly, I think that's a big part of like how Jess is able to create little tiny worlds is because she follows that yes so strongly, like really is like faithful to that, like that passionate yes that her spirit and her body are like that communicate to her. And I think like, I really don't think that we could go wrong if we listen to that in ourselves.
Yeah. Our gut intelligence sometimes gets the, doesn't get the respect it deserves, right? Or the attention that it deserves. Mm-hmm. Emotional intelligence too, right? We live in such a brain centered culture.
Yeah. So following the, like the yes of the heart and like the soul and the body.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And listening to it like, oh, that's a no. All right. Okay. Mm-hmm. I will listen to that.
Yeah. And I guess like, and it can be helpful, you know, therapy has helped me to distinguish the different or discern the difference between a no that is like based on fear and trauma and a no that's like a real like kind of spiritual guidance bit of no, because there's a difference there too.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. And well, probably for yeses too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Shelley, I think we should follow our yes right down to Bayview.
I think so too.
Book a night at Mother Lion. You know, actually, funnily enough, before Shelley and I got this podcast going, we booked ourselves into an Airbnb, just the two of us, just to like have 24 hours together to just like hash things out and plan and dream. And so I feel like we might be due for another one of those.
I believe so.
Nice. Yeah.
I believe I think we so. Should. And you know, I'm reminded of just how this weekend I only had two of my kids. I have four kids and only two of them were around because their dad took two of them away for the weekend. And just the rejuvenation that happens when there's some quietness. You know, the two that were around were teenagers, and so they, you know, pretty much stuck to their room and the house was just quiet. Like a couple days of quiet is really good for a mother's soul. I appreciate that, just that idea of a getaway specifically for nurturers and you know, folks that spend their life listening to needy children.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you said it at the beginning, right? It's a place to nourish people who nourish people. I love that. I don't know if that's your tagline, but if it's not, it should be. I love it.
Good one.
Oh. Well, thank you so much for joining us. This has been wonderful. The one thing we do always ask our guests at the end is, you know, this is a podcast about dreaming. It's a podcast specifically about Milwaukee women who are living their dream or who we see as living the dream. Is there a woman in Milwaukee that you really see as living her dream? Someone who inspires you, maybe? And it doesn't have to be, you know, familiar.
I think it's Jess. Because I'm just like blown away that she like, made this happen. Because I'm over here, like I've been dreaming about things for years and I'm like, I don't know. Like, I mean, I've done a lot of really cool stuff, but I feel like there's like this fire that she has. She is a Leo sun, which is another fun part to the mother line.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah.
But there's just this like, it's just really remarkable, truly remarkable. Like you got to come see the space and you'll know what I'm talking about, to look at it and be like, she did this. She did it. Every little tiny little detail. She did it.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. That's cool.
I love people like that.
So she did the backsplash mosaic herself, you know, in the kitchen. She just, it's really, really amazing. So that I'm so inspired by that. I'm like, I can do it. We can do it. Mm-hmm. We are also creators, you know?
And I mean, also that I just think anybody that's able and willing to bring a team together, get something off the ground and then take off to go around the world.
And I should say, yes, speaking of gut feeling. So she also organize the team pretty intuitively. Mm-hmm. Like she and I, she just followed me, like saw what I'd been doing in the community. We'd never met, but she said she just knew. She knew.
Mm.
So following your intuition.
Yeah. I love that.
Awesome.
I love that.
And being a mother while doing it. We're all, yes. All of us on this team are mothers. So that that's also makes it really special.
Yeah. Hopefully some built-in grace that you all have for each other just by nature of that. Yeah. It happens with Megan and I all the time. So
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, thanks so much for spending an hour with us. This has been so
fun. Yeah, thank you.
I am so excited to get down there and check it out. Could we just come? Is it possible for people, I should ask, in case any of our listeners are like, I'd like to see it before I commit. Do you have open hours or like office hours when people could just get a tour or?
Yeah, that's something that I've thought about doing, that we might like, once or twice a month, like an open house thing. But if someone wants to come check it out, especially like if they want to plan a workshop, just email us at motherlionretreat@gmail.com. We could organize a time to be there for you to come check things out.
Cool. Awesome. Cool. Awesome. And we'll put all the links and all the emails again in our show notes so people can just click right from there and get a hold of you. So, well, good luck with the holiday season. Hopefully you get some bookings. And with the new year, I know people always like to do their vision boards and, you know, get ready for what's to come.
Self-improvement season. Woohoo!
So, yes.
Right around the corner.
Yeah.
Here's hoping.
Awesome.
Yeah. May your hot tubs and ice baths be full this season.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me and letting me share about this really special place.
Oh, Shelley, I'm so inspired by this. I'm not kidding. We need to book. We need to book right now.
Amazing. Yes, it sounds just incredible.
I've been looking forward to this conversation for a long time because I'm always talking about retreats and retreat spaces and hosting retreats and wanting to do that. And this is sort of, I'm thinking that this could be a way that I dabble locally without, you know, having to put money down on a place myself, right? Just renting it for a weekend or renting it for a night just to try it out. I love that the space is available in our community. I love that.
Yeah, totally. And I said that in the interview, but it's so helpful for people that do one-on-one work, like coaches or massage therapists or acupuncturists, Reiki practitioners, to be able to have a space that feels energetically, you know?
Yeah.
Right?
If you've seen the pictures on Instagram, you can just feel that energy from that. And I can just imagine stepping into this beautiful space, what that would feel like, just being wrapped in its blanket of safety, security.
Yeah, that's the sacredness, right? Sacred space.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited to check it out and just glad to know that there are places in the world that are cultivated to be that way, because so much of the world is, you know, can be hard and challenging.
Yeah.
So,
and this really did seem like a place to energetically give back to the community. You know, I mean, we didn't talk. I mean, perhaps it wasn't her place to talk about profit and loss and, you know, return on investment and all that kind of stuff. But it seems like this is a place that is more concerned about just what it can give back to the community and then trusting that the community will give back to that space.
Nurturing.
Yeah.
Nurturing that sense of mutual well-being.
Yeah. Yeah. So listeners, check it out. We will put links in the show notes so that you can make a reservation yourself and get yourself down to Bayview to experience this beautiful community.
And who knows, maybe in 2024, Megan Schultz will have a retreat there, or Shelley Roeder will do some, I don't know, some kind of workshop.
Yeah. Maybe we'll even do one together, folks.
Ooh. Dreamy.
And in the meantime, we'll be back next week with another Milwaukee woman living her dream, the Cream City.
Until then, keep on dreaming.
Keep on dreaming. Okay, Milwaukee. Guess what?
We are spending more money than we have earned via our podcast by getting new music and buying swag. Can you help us out?
This is a labor of love, listeners. We do this because we love it. And we also love coffee.
We do love coffee. And actually, we don't really use the coffee money for coffee, but it's easier to ask for coffee than it is to ask for money. So will you give us coffee?
Would you buy us a cup? If you like our podcast, click the link in our show notes.
Or share this with other people.
We love that too.
Especially rich uncles. Or aunts. I should really stop saying rich uncles. Rich aunts, baby. That's who we want supporting the pod.
I mean, uncles are okay too. We also love reviews. So leave us a review. If you like the podcast, if you love these women, share it, like us, leave us a review.
What's your coffee order, Megan?
Half calf, please. I've had too much already.
I had a new one that I'm obsessed with, Shakerado, which I totally thought was a McDonald's drive-thru order. It's apparently like a fancy Italian shaken espresso with sugar, and it's amazing.
Wow.
I had it at Vendetta Coffee Bar. So if anybody wants to buy me one of those or 10, I'm in.
Boom. Haven't dropped a boom in a while.
Oh, I have some fiber for that. I entertain us.
Okay, friends, and that's a wrap.